Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. Tonight we're going to be discussing two things. A film titled The Hollow, directed by Miles Doliak, wonderful filmmaker. We're going to have a discussion review tonight. Miles was kind enough to let our co-producer review the film as well. And then we're going to be mentioning this as we're doing this because the Golden Door International Film Festival is coming up in Jersey City. And Bill Sorvino, the director and one of the founders of that, was on the show. Great guest, had a great time talking with Bill. Please go in the archives and look that up. I'm pretty sure it's their seventh year. And they're bringing films to Jersey City, and like I'm paraphrasing Bill, but he said, you know, we're in Jersey, we're so close to New York, New York gets the attention, not in a derogatory way, but why don't we bring some films to New Jersey? And not to put the attention on his relatives, but of course we all know Miss Mira Sorvino and Mr. Paul Sorvino. I had the great pleasure. It's so cool. The Sorvinos are such nice people. I had the pleasure of interviewing Bill and his Uncle Paul for a separate film that his Uncle Paul was in. So you really, I wish this festival was closer to me. I would definitely be at it. I had actually looked into going to it. It just didn't work with the schedule of the show, but we send our best to Bill and his team, and we know that the film selection and programming must be superb if it has The Hollow in it. Now, with The Hollow, I, of course, gave it a wonderful review. I discussed Mr. Sadler and William Forsythe and Miles' direction and the great writing. Talking Pictures, I'm always so proud of this. This is as arrogant as I like getting or sounding. And as I say this, once I finish this, I'll bring in our guest reviewer tonight, our podcast producer, Jim McNulty. This film is very special to myself and Talking Pictures. We were the first media publication of any form, blog, newspaper, magazine, podcast, to review it. And Miles' last film was in the LA Times, New York Times, Hollywood Reporter, IndieWire. Since it's played a few festivals, it was premiering Soho International. It's been getting great reviews. It's been getting, I saw three or four reviews on Facebook this week. We will be going into its video on demand release, its theatrical release, but we're always happy, and it's always a great personal and achievement of the team. And I always get a little bit emotional talking about this film because a director essentially gave us the exclusive before the LA Times. So we will always be thankful for that. So tonight I'm going to right now introduce, it is his return. He has not been on air for a while with us, but he has hosted multiple episodes in the past. For those of you that like talking movies and not hearing about a film festival or hearing a director's process, Jim and I have episodes in the archives where we've broken down Ang Lee, Gus Van Sant, remakes. So I want to introduce our podcast producer since day one, as we celebrate our second year of Talking Pictures. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, guy. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us from the south, I guess that would be western tip of Colorado.
Good old Grand Junction.
Yes, and Jim is going to, in 2017, as Talking Pictures expands to other festivals, we hope to include the Boulder, International and the Denver International, and we will do what we did like with Carrie and Aaron when we sent them to Seattle and Phoenix. We will have guests from another state. So to Jim, I told them we're here to mention the Golden Door International Film Festival, founded by Bill Sorvino and his family. Of course, his uncle is Paul Sorvino. They are both the nicest gentlemen. And the fact that they're just in the gives myself an idea of what other films will be there. We also want to thank, on the PR side, Mr. Clint. But now we will jump into Jim's take on the film. Jim, what I'd like to ask you first is, I'm just a guy walking down the street like our listeners are. Tell me your initial thought of The Hollow.
Okay, initial thought. I was sort of surprised. I'm watching it. It's sort of first, maybe 5-8 minutes into it. And two words came into my mind. Big bones. And I went, okay, there's something here that's going to be a bit different. And it's just a movie starting out. And it's obvious that the policeman, the chief, is corrupt, definitely. And there was that extra something. I wasn't sure what it was going to be. I just knew it was going to be big bones, and I had to find out what that was by just hanging in there with the movie. And that. Two words actually were fulfilled. I went, okay, I wasn't far off on this. And that, big bones, although I didn't, have a great understanding of what that meant at first, it was an intuitive hit on what was coming up. I was just, I was very pleased with what I saw. And,
Go ahead. Oh, no. What I was going to do was I forgot to give the synopsis, so there's some context to what you were saying about how it met your initial feeling. The Hollow stars Miles Doliak, who Miles writes, co-produces, directs, and stars in, and it is not to be an egomaniac or show off. If you ever get a chance to meet Miles at a screening, take the time to approach him. Say hello. He is wonderful to fans and viewers. I'm not saying go interrupt him while he's eating dinner, hanging out with his wife, but I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but I'm just saying respect his time. But you attend one of these things, Miles loves hearing your thoughts of his films. He loves audiences. Anyways, the first here, we have William Sadler, best known for Die Hard 2, The Main Terrorist, Iron Man 3, Haywood and Shawshank Redemption. We have James Callis from the upcoming Bridget Jones Baby. And Christiane Seidel played this wonderful FBI agent. She's been in Boardwalk Empire. And then we have William Forsythe from Daredevil and The Rock. He plays the main villain in this film. And it's one of those actors that you will see his face and just be like, I've seen him in 90 movies. Now, when Jim says big bones and that it met the plot, this is the plot. And to meet this synopsis takes a writer. Now, here we go. When a U.S. congressman's daughter passing through a small town in Mississippi dies in a mysterious triple homicide, a team of FBI agents descends to investigate. The team's brilliant but jaded lead agent, battling demons both past and present, as his beautiful, tough-as-nails partner tries to hold him and the case together. They find a struggling and corrupt sheriff's department, a shadowy and much-feared figure who seems to be pulling all of the town's strings from his mansion on the edge of town, and a local victim with a strange connection to a number of the town's most prominent figures. And this is a complete ensemble piece. So this isn't, you know, you're just along for the ride with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman as they solve Seven. So with that, continue, Jim, and my apologies for cutting you off.
Well, okay, you're going over the synopsis of the story and just sort of touching a bit on the different characters. One of the things that I found really, really a bit of fun was the sheriff, the lawyer who's like pulling the strings, really, really strong characters. I mean, they had their weaknesses, you know, and they were all very personal. But with, you know, was a nice contrast. I felt that the FBI man was just, he was a putz. And he didn't play it. It wasn't played as anything more than a putz. There wasn't this, I mean, there was, you know, his family, but there was no real, you know, I am a hero hidden behind my drinking and the whole thing, which is like, you know, not unusual in cop thrillers and dramas. They're always, you know that they're going to come to the fore. This guy just sort of stayed butsy. And at the end, you know, the connection that he had with his partner, I still felt, no matter what happened, how their relationship acted out, I was like, man, she's strong, and you're going to need it because you're still like, a little bit, you know, come on, guy, get your act together. I know you're supposed to look like you have, but I love that.
Well,
I really did.
Right, I was going to say, there's two things. There's, when you said you loved it, I was going to say, there's a great thing that Miles did where, and this goes back to 70s films, which I've talked to Miles about in personal conversations, where when you go back and you dissect most 70s films from the great ones of Dog Day Afternoon, Serpico, all those, we don't intellectualize them as audience, but as filmmakers and film lovers, a lot of these movies, Serpico is a great example. Everybody in the movie changes. Everything changes. He's in the Brooklyn, he's in Bronx, but from the beginning of the movie to the end, he's the same. And so when you said you love that cop, that's what I loved about the cop, is that we can't get into details on what happens with the murder, who did it, if it's solved or not, but he was the same guy in the beginning of the movie as the end. So the details and nuance of the writing, which I'll just mention to you real quick, Jim, before you continue your point, is that...
I have to jump in on that. It really took some, and I feel a real understanding, a real feel, and probably a real love of, you know, the cop-type thriller and the whole thing to write what was be written, that was what was written, and some real, instinct, intelligence, to make these little changes, you know, these shading it a little bit differently. I really appreciated that.
Well, yes, what I was going to say was the treat for you that I did not tell you before because we weren't going to discuss this film, and that Miles goes into, for those of you, you will want to see this film if you've seen it, please go into our archive. Miles was kind enough to give us a 45-minute interview. Miles is from Mississippi, so Jim, you know the Tennessee Williams, the Faulkner. Miles references these. Miles is also a PhD and a professor at a university in Mississippi, and he goes into a great deal of using these authors to have such rich character and base and go after nuances and the way, I mean, we talked about how Mississippi has, you know, how it was just weird how it's this kind of barren state and it's hot, but it has the best novelist and it's where B.B. King's from. And, you know, it just seems to be this hotbed of artistry. So now with you knowing that, I just figured you would like that. I know you love books, and I know you love characters.
Yeah, that's, you know, I actually, I'm sorry to say, I didn't hear the interview. And that's really, you know, I know, okay, that adds something to it. That, you know, it's good to hear that.
Yes, and he's, and Miles is, it's very kind of him because he has been a guest on the show. He was actually our first guest. And so right now we're doing episode 126. Miles has another film called The Historian that did go to DVD and iTunes, the video on demand. Miles was also came by during Oscar time and reviewed Steve Jobs. So he's a very passionate guy. He's also a theater actor. And so that's what I really love about Miles is that he is, you would never know it. In fact, I have this joke with him where I say, I like you because you're the only PhD who's never condescended me. And, you know, okay, I'm all for not generalizing, but in my personal experience, when the PhD follows the name, there seems to be a little bit of attitude. And so the fact that Miles is this guy who, after he wraps the film, this last one, he was in Cabaret, and then he's teaching at a university, and then he's making time. You know, one time he said, I have a board meeting as a professor, and he's a professor meeting, and he's on the phone with me reviewing Steve Jobs. And I just thought that was so fantastic. And that spoke to the humanity. And the reason why I mention this is because that humanity shows up in every character. Now, Jim, now that I've told you a little bit about Miles, and your love of books, and we can spend a little bit of time with the writing, is that, you know, it says that the here in the synopsis, let me word it properly so I don't give anything away. They find a corrupt sheriff's department. Okay, so it admits that Miles plays this corrupt sheriff. Now, the writing of that corrupt sheriff and the nuances of the acting, how do you feel about that performance now that I've told you about this guy who's, you know, he's not doing those things. He's shaping the next generation of minds. He's theatrical. He's homaging Tennessee Williams when he writes. So how did you feel about that performance?
Well, I mentioned in the beginning I had a reaction with those two words, big bones. And the way the character was written, but also, you know, the corruption, the sheriff, the lawyer, strong, very, very strong. And really, really, I like the way that the weakness of the FBI man just, like, contrasted so well. And it did have that sort of, you know, a different time, a different place. Actually, you know, a different place from what I'm used to in movies. I've seen a lot of, you know, thrillers or, you know, that type of thing. What I really liked, though, was the fact that the acting for the sheriff, the acting for the lawyer, the guy that played the sheriff, just a real presence. You know, I to tell you the truth, it's just like when I'm looking back on it and going, you know, if I bumped into this guy on the street, I might be a little afraid. Just off the, you know, off the cuff. Like, okay.
Yes, I'm not sure if I had mentioned that. Like, I mean, it's on the poster. It says it in the synopsis that William Forsythe is the villain, and William Forsythe, fantastic actor. He's usually that heavy, and he has a presence where you just shave his beard a certain way, and all of a sudden he looks like a Hell's Angel. Miles is a guy who is you know, usually in a suit, is just very calm and unassuming. And so with this performance, another thing, what I really liked about the nuance of it is that it required this not caring or respecting. And the other attribute that Miles has that I think is why this film is so well done, if you look at someone who has to write, produce, direct, and act, and lead these other great actors, is that Miles is also the only PhD I've never met, and heck, I don't even have a bachelor's, and I'm bad about cutting people off, but I have never heard Miles cut someone off, and I think that intuition is so important for the writing and the FBI agent. I mean, that female FBI agent, that woman, Christiane Seidel, was so, it wasn't the strong woman to prove a point that women aren't fake on screen, or it wasn't, we're not going to cater to her look, so let's make her a badass. It was just strength, but with vulnerability. What's your take on her performance?
Well, you know, she, like you said, she wasn't overwhelming. She wasn't, you know, I am going to be the strong woman in this set. She was there, and she sort of, she underplayed it. And it still supported the FBI guy, her partner. She didn't overshadow him because he didn't need overshadowed. He just needed someone next to him that could sort of like, you know, sort of bitch slap him lightly upside the head or give him a little bit of the truth and hope that it was going to get in. Which is, you know, that's real subtle. That is a change in the use of these different, accepted characters that you have. And I appreciated that. But, you know, just pure and simple, I really enjoyed the movie. I was there going, what happened for me is I lost the connection, I think it was 3 times, and had to start the movie over. And, I loved it. I really did. I went, okay. You know, getting to review some of it, I was really appreciating that it wasn't exactly cookie cutter. And I don't mean that Serpico and things like that were cookie cutter. It's just that those type of movies did have a certain arc to them that I came to expect. You know, it's just like we do with movies. We sort of know what's going to happen next. And I just liked the ride. I really enjoyed it.
Well, there was, again, as we're here, because we know that some people, I don't know how, come into podcast late. We're discussing The Hollow from writer, director, producer Miles Doliak. Also starred in it, this film stars, he's one of my favorite, and I got to interview him for Miles' last film, The Historian. He's so gracious. Mr. William Sadler, Haywood from The Shawshank Redemption. I had to tell him, sounding like a Shawshank geek. It was like, I grew up with that film. I saw it so many times with my father, and he appreciated it. You can go in the archives, please, people. It's one of our earliest shows. He talks about Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. He talks about Die Hard 2. He gives us some great insight into playing a terrorist now that 9/11's happened. So I recommend that episode. James Callis from the upcoming Bridget Jones Baby. Now, we only want to mention this once because we do not want to be like we're coattailing or pimping anyone's names. Pardon me one sec. didn't want to be too close to the mic when I said this. This is Miles' second film as a director. Now, Miles, of course, also being an actor, has been on sets and has done plays, so he has a lot of other experiences. But has it, for this, for his second film as a director, the executive producer is named Lisa Bruce. She is most known for producing The Theory of Everything, which Eddie Redmayne won the Oscar for, not last year, but the year before, and it was nominated for Best Picture. So she was a Oscar-nominated producer, and her follow-up film was this, The Hollow. So we are not, that is the last thing we will say about Miss Bruce, and we appreciate that they said we could discuss her. But that shows you the direction that Miles is moving in. And with all due respect, I'm going to take the time to show Jim Miles' first film. When Jim said, what was that you said, Big Bones?
Yeah.
Okay, Big Bones. I had the same experience. The Historian is like night and day with this, especially since Miles is a history teacher. But what I just want to briefly say is I remember watching The Historian, and I think this is kind of what you were getting at by saying Big Bones, Jim, was I remember thinking, this is a director who is like fantastic, but all that's happening is what any first-time director misses. And I've never directed a feature, so I'm not sitting here like I have 10 nominations behind me. So you can really tell when you watch enough films when there's a director, I call it punching a wall, because they're about to just knock the wall down, and the wall's shaking. And I remember thinking, just after two very simple scenes, I cannot wait till the credits, because I just have to remember this name. I ended up meeting him the next day, and we had a great conversation, and it was very ironic because we met at Dances with Films, and we were standing right in front of the Kodak Theater, where the Oscars are held, and we were talking about American Beauty, and I kind of forget half the conversation because, again, I was wondering why a PhD was so nice, and it was just really cool. So we want to let you guys know that this is hitting video on demand, but we encourage you guys, okay, as much as you guys like video on demand, and October 7th is right around the corner, you guys, can't we all enjoy our DVDs, we're used to our iPads, we do what we do. This one is coming to theaters. This shows you the quality of the film, because nowadays, a theatrical run, especially for an indie, is 1 week in Los Angeles, 1 week in New York. Of course, The Historian did play 1 week in LA and New York, and they were gracious, and filmmakers gracious, but for Jim, this is for you to know, and please, if you know anyone in these towns, let them know. Please, for anyone listening, let your friends know. This is going to be coming to the Cinema Village Theater in New York, and I'm going to list these because I want you guys to know this is how great the film is. For an indie film to be playing New York, LA, Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, San Francisco, Houston, Boston, Orlando, D.C., and of course the Grand Theater in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which is where it was shot, and the Grand Theater in, I will mispronounce this, D'Iberville, Mississippi. So Lemley Theaters in Beverly Hills, get out there and see it. The Plaza Theater in Atlanta, Facet Cinemas in Chicago, the Tower City Cinemas right there in the main part of downtown where you get off the train in Cleveland, the Roxy in San Francisco, AMC Willowbrook in Houston, AMC Liberty Tree in Boston, AMC Universal Cineplex in Orlando, AMC Lexington in D.C. That is so awesome that AMC is putting it in Boston and D.C. So we want to really congratulate The Hollow, not just because Miles is a friend, and not, this is the one thing, again, I want to say for new listeners, because every episode, and Jim, you have been with us since day one, and you have helped keep this rule in order. We never tell a filmmaker or a guest what they want to hear. If we don't enjoy a film, we don't have it on. If we don't enjoy a guest, we don't interview them. So this is all, this is not promotional. This is to share film. So Jim, with you knowing how so many things and your experience to the show, so how so many films play online or hit Netflix, how do you feel getting the news that so many cities are going to be able to experience this film?
I think it's appropriate. You know, you're saying that, you know, there was a film that was hitting the wall, punching it. My feeling for this movie is that it's this should have been somebody's, you know, fifth or sixth after they, you know, like a newborn calf, you know, getting its legs. It's it was solid. And, you know, you were talking, one of the things that came up for me, and this is just sort of my own personal mythology or whatever, the movie was there, another thing about it, it was like going down a highway in a Ford Fairlane, just knowing you were on top of it and glad to be where you were, doing what you do, and just riding straight ahead. And, you know, I know I get a little weird in my explanations for get my personal feelings and visions into stuff, but, yeah, you know, okay, good. This is... you know, the guy has got a lot going for him. And I don't know why I'm saying this, because it might sound awful. But I don't know what his background is, what he's actually done hitting the ground. It's like, did he really earn this? And he's got it? Yes, he's showing it. But what did he have to go through to earn the chops that he has?
Oh, I can answer that. If I remember correctly, he said he had he's in his mid or early 40s, and he did I remember he told me he came out to LA right before American Beauty, and so he did the, you know, 10 or et cetera years of auditions and bit parts and extra work and, you know, just basically what we say in the business is you spend 5 or 10 years failing before you have an S in the word success. So yeah, it comes from he's been in that world of duds or bit parts or things that didn't work out. And with The Historian, it was a film that I'm not sure how well it was received. I know it did play some festivals, but it was better. But like I said, the only flaws were when you obviously hear and expect a first-time director to make. I thought, you know, it was obviously good enough to be reviewed in the LA Times and New York Times, and on IndieWire and in the Hollywood Reporter. And so this leap, you know, what you said about fifth or sixth film, I think I might've said that the other night too, was that I was in the most respectful way was like, not what happened, Miles, like you don't have the talent. My what happened was, usually a filmmaker makes a film, maybe you think it's a six, they disappear for 2 years, all they do is the film, and then they come back with an eight. You don't see that they've done Jesus Christ Superstar and played Jesus Christ and Judas and flip-flopped each night. You don't see that, you don't know that they've teach full-time as an assistant professor, and they're writing and developing a script that they're going to direct and produce. And when he said acting, I thought, you know, William Forsythe and William Sadler, it does not spoil anything, but William Sadler's part is smaller in this, much smaller than the historian. And I credit him, and I'll credit him again, that William Sadler, such a kind, gracious man, actors of his level and stature and talent, you know, might have passed on a role, and this is not spoiling anything, that didn't get to say it's the William Sadler show, especially someone who's come off of Shawshank and Die Hard 2 and those things. So with Miles, he has had a very interesting road, and this film shocked me. I mean, as much as I, you know, have spent 2 years getting to know him in terms of just talking about film or talking about the podcast or doing shows together, I remember just being floored by it. The way you say big bones, I remember just thinking, you know, what the F, Miles? Like, oh my gosh. Like, I want to see your third film. Like, get out of teaching, cancel Cabaret. I need to see something in 2 months. I don't have till next year to have you on the show again or wait. So, yeah, I'm glad that it hit you the way it did. We have to acknowledge, Jim, sorry, what did you think of the cinematography? Because this to me was sultry like Mississippi.
Like I said, you know, it's just going down the road. It was a good ride. It was the cinematography. Good bones. It was, you know, there are sometimes, you know, we're dealing with a visual medium, okay? And there are times when I just feel comfortable visually. This, you know, it just puts me where I need to be. Different movies. Amelie, I think, was the name of one of them. It was a French movie. And the minute the cinematography was there in front of me, I knew I was home free. With this, I knew I was, this is where I'm going, and I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a good ride, and it was. It was beautiful. You know, and I don't mean beautiful like Sirikawa or something like that, you know, just over the top and the whole thing. This was although it's, you know, got a sort of, I hate to use the word gritty, it didn't have to be gritty or grimy to support what was happening. That was, you know, that was appropriate. There were a lot of people there's a lot of people in this film that are already sitting sweet. That's it.
Yes. I was gonna say. The best thing about this is the chicken's not overcooked and the appetizers are there to serve, not to say, hey, look at me, I'm an appetizer. Again, we were doing this to just, go ahead.
No, I'm just going, yes. It wasn't, you know, any of that the little blackbirds popping out of the pie trying to get attention. It was, you know, yeah.
And again, we're doing this as, and pardon my typing because I do, it does require that I move around. You can go to the, for Jersey City's Golden Door Film Festival, even though it's the Golden Door International Film Festival, go to goldendoorfilmfestival.org. Of course, that's in Jersey City. I sometimes feel dumb because I'll say like that, like everybody in New Jersey doesn't know what it is. So again, I don't live in Jersey, so I shouldn't know everything about it. It's going to be coming up September 22nd to the 25th. So that's next Thursday through Sunday. And I'm looking here on the, which I should have done before. Sometimes as hosts, we make mistakes and it just occasionally happens. And all we can do is admit to it. Most hosts don't. It's not letting me access Friday, but I know that it plays Friday, The Hollow. The website is having an issue, so this is not anything against the film festival. I'm doing right here to make sure and get you the right exact date and time. And there will be a Q&A with, I know Miles will be there. I'm not going to promise you on any of the humans / movie stars because I want to respect their privacy, but it is billed as a cast and crew screening. Or Q&A. And all that's coming up on the website is that it's part of Block 11, 6:30 to 8:30. And please, again, go to goldendoorfilmfestival.org. I was going to plug the theater address.
You said a Q&A with the crew. Because it's like something like this. I would, you know, love to hear some of the experience, some of the, you know, what type of understanding, how long the crew had been in the business to support this. Because it's, you know, the crew is so, you know, so damn necessary. I mean, that, you know, come on, that is, yeah, you know. Good bones. Well, it's the crew.
What I can say is that Miles, I know, had two or three of the same producers. I know some of the technical team I saw in the photos because I met them at the Historian were the same. Miles is 100% the kind of guy who would keep the loyalty and the same crew. And because he does draw from Mississippi and does have the, if I can't come up with the word, I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm drawing off of IndieWire here. I don't want to say 6:30 or 7:30 and give you the wrong time. And again, the website was down. But yeah, with crew, I know he'll have at least some of the producers there. There's a friend of his that does grip work that I know was at the Historian. And so you can... hopefully that'll be there. Very nice guy. He was fun to talk to. Miles, what's cool about Miles is his team is like a, they're just basically family oriented. So you get Miles, you get the rest. As I said, I would, I know, I subconsciously did not look up this info because I didn't want to be giving out if his producer was going to be there or these movie stars. So you need to show up for the red carpet and the film. It is Friday the 23rd. And go to goldendoorfilmfestival.org. Miles, my apology to you for not saying 6:30 or 7:30. Shame on me. But we have enjoyed doing this, and we wish the best to Bill Sorvino and his festival this year. We thank him for coming on the show when he did. We hope to attend next year and check out your festival and Jersey City in person. And we hope you have just the best darn festival you can have that meets all your wishes. Jim, on the hollow, any last words?
See it.
See it. That sounds like a great thing for like a poster or a billboard. See it. Jim McNulty, Talking Pictures. You heard it here. Even though this is a re-review and a discussion review and preview for the Golden Door International Film Festival, remember, Talking Pictures had the blessing to be the first one to bring you the exclusive on the hollow. I think I will probably mention that for years. So my final words are going to be, I think I'm going to agree with Jim. See it. And to add to that, talk about it, discuss it, enjoy the, if there's an after party, tell your friends about it, tell your friends in other cities. And again, we thank Miles, we thank Clint, we thank all the cast and crew for this great experience. And as always at Talking Pictures, thank you for stopping by. And whether it's afternoon, morning, evening, or if you're an insomniac that loves to research movies, make sure and watch a good movie today. Good night, peace, and aloha, and take care to you too, Jim.
Okay, aloha. That's coming on you.